This is the start to the "Get Off My Lawn" person who doesn't believe in the same shit as me, or I'll shoot you in the ass mixtape.
That's not really the name of the show, and that was in fact a real shotgun, in case you're wondering, because we're at my house today. Because if you listen to the Tuesday Night Hootenanny show, you understand the situation.
It's difficult.
It's difficult, it's different, but, you know, it makes us stronger people. We move on.
That's right.
We maintain, like Rick from The Walking Dead. We had to kill our best friend.
It's a Ricktatorship now.
So we're going to kick it into gear with some of Jeremy's picks.
Yeah, I did my list a little bit differently than you guys did.
Oh, so these are your shows?
These are shows that I've been to, yes.
Awesome.
You guys picked some stuff that you were taking to as children, and I didn't want to do that because I didn't want to play.
Because you didn't want to be embarrassed?
I didn't want to play Hank Williams Jr.
I went there. I didn't even care.
Yeah. I'm going to focus on shows that I liked the most.
Okay.
I've seen a lot of bands, and I've seen bands that I don't like. We covered this a couple weeks back about bands that are good live but aren't good on record, or right, vice versa. And there's some bands on here that I'm not massive fans of, but was really impressed by the live show.
Sure.
We're going to start with a band that I know that you and I have seen, and our ex-co-host has also seen. And you guys didn't pick anything by them. So I'm going to show them a little bit of love, because I think I like them just a little bit more than you guys do, based mostly on that last record that I was very impressed by, because I didn't expect a lot from them. This is Blink-182, Parasite.
And as
And that was the band Park with Vine. Park's a local band, too.
They are.
A little local to us.
Yeah, Springfield. I know they got pretty big there for a little while.
I'm surprised it didn't go further than that. They're really good.
They were. I used to write for the State Journal Register, which is the local newspaper in the area. I think you can get it in other places, too. State Capitol, the main newspaper. I got asked when I was writing for them when I was in high school to review their debut EP. I liked it so much that I went ahead and called the guys and asked if they wanted to do an interview. And we did kind of a sit-down interview. Good guys. I ended up actually kind of working with them a little bit in the beginning, getting their shows announced on the radio and some of the local radio shows that play local bands and such, getting some of their music played.
I didn't listen to the last record they put out. No Signal was the first one I really got into. I know there's an EP that's really good. Everything I heard by them is really fucking good.
I'm not a huge fan. You know, just...
I'm not like a diehard, but like I appreciate well-done stuff, and they...
It's like I have everything they've ever released, but I've gotten it from a member. I didn't really like go plunk down money, but I enjoy what they do. I like what they do a lot.
Yeah, I think there might be plans for them to do more, too.
Really? No kidding. And in a lot of regard, Park might be the first time that I ever seriously listened to something that was considered emo.
Yeah, I'll buy that.
But they played a lot. I went and saw them a bunch, and they were good. And I ended up doing a lot of different articles about them and interviews and stuff for the paper. Some made it, some didn't, you know. But we tried to work together as much as we possibly could. And really nice guys. Justin.
Justin is my eye doctor.
Is he really?
Yeah. Yeah, I went in there again. I was like, does this pay better than rock and roll now? And he just laughed. Like, he recognized me and stuff. We talked, you know. And no, he's super cool. You'll never see Ladd throw his guitar at Miles' drum set ever.
No. And see, when I first started listening to him, Miles wasn't even in the band.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot they had somebody else.
I can't even remember the kid's name now. But
Miles is a fucking phenomenal drummer, though.
He is. He's really good.
Yeah, I mean, everybody in that band is just super good at what they do. I know they had a new bass player for their most recent record.
I ran into Justin at a bar real late one night years ago after that record had just come out. And we started talking, like, hey, what's going on? And he ended up running out to his car and grabbed me one and gave it to me. And I had him sign it. And the guy that was with him was, like, their touring bass player. But didn't play bass on the record, but I had him sign his name over the picture of the guy that did play's face.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I've got that somewhere. No, good guys, and that was my favorite song from their debut EP. I want to say that maybe came out in 95, 6-ish.
It was a while ago.
Somewhere around there. But check them out. They actually signed to a bigger label. I think it was Lobster Records.
But then in the middle there, you heard the Parasites hang up?
Yes, the Parasites. Okay, the Parasites are a relatively well-known band as far as the East Bay goes, the whole, you know, Berkeley, Gilman Street type scene. And I saw them in Chicago when I was going to school there. When I was going to school up in Chicago, I would go to the Fireside almost every other weekend to see bands.
That kind of was like the Chicago venue for underground punk music if you wanted to see it. Or, you know, even some of the bigger acts would come through.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I saw big bands, I saw little bands. Mr. T Experience, it's coming up a little bit later. I saw them there.
Saw them there, too.
Yeah.
Saw Even a Blackouts, John's band.
Yes. I saw Even a Blackouts.
I saw Park there. When I lived up there, lived on the south side. I took the train up. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I don't remember. They weren't playing with anybody I knew or cared about.
Right. I went to just see the Parasites based off Lookout Records put out samplers every single year. And the Parasites did a 7-inch on Lookout Records. And I believe it was actually the title track in the 7-inch. And they played, so I'm like, okay, let's go. And an old friend of mine came up to go to the show with me. And we saw this guy walking around in a Pizza Hut shirt. And we just thought it was somebody who was coming to the show who just got off work or something like that, you know. And then when the Parasites went to start, the guy in the Pizza Hut shirt walked on stage, grabbed a guitar, turned out to be the lead singer of the Parasites. They're not from Chicago. I think he was just wearing a Pizza Hut shirt.
Sure. Probably got a Goodwill or Salvation Army or something.
Yeah, yeah. But they were really, really, really good. And after they put out that 7-inch Lookout, I think they signed to Go-Kart Records and put out a really good album. And they did they covered Ramones album. They did It's Alive, which is like the only time I think anybody's ever done a live album. You know, start to finish, crowd noise and all. I think it's only pressed on vinyl. I've got a copy of it somewhere. But they were really, really good. They were older dudes when I saw them. And when I saw them, it was, you know, 15, 16 years ago.
Shit.
And I don't know if they're still going or not, but I've always loved that song. And I like what they do. And they always were a big deal to me. So. And then to cover yet another band that I saw numerous times at the Fireside Bowl, Teen Idols, I'm Not the One. Last night I saw you crying.
Another guy, it's only teardrop was for me. This was on your shoulder. It's all that you learned, my daughter. You love that That was the Mr. T Experience, You're the Only One.
Last song on Love is Dead.
I think my favorite song on that record is Deep, Deep Down.
That's a great song.
Love that song.
Their middle albums were their best.
Yeah.
It's like their early stuff's good, their later stuff's good, but right there in the middle, especially when Joel Reader was on bass,
oh yeah,
was great.
Because I saw him at the Fireside, and
same here.
It was right after Yesterday Rush came out.
That's actually their last album.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the last
thing. Was that the first one without Joel?
Yeah, it was the last Mr. T Experience album, and it was the first record without Joel, because the one before that was Alcatraz, and Joel did play it.
Okay, yeah.
And Alcatraz is their weird album, but I still enjoy it.
I don't think I've heard it.
I'll get you a copy. It's good. It's very, very different.
Okay. I mean, I love its songwriting, and
as far as full lengths go, because in between some of that, I think the Miracle of Shame EP came out, and maybe some other.
Mr. T Experience is a band that I like, but I only have a handful of records to go off of, so I guess my opinion of them could go either way, because I haven't heard a lot of the bad stuff, I haven't heard a lot of good stuff, I've just really lucked out with the records and got good ones.
Yeah, and there, Mr. T Experience, the lead singer, Dr. Frank, is, you know, Mr. Hollywood now.
Really?
Well, he wrote a couple of books. Couple of novels
that
eventually got optioned into films.
Like what?
They're not out yet.
No shit.
But he wrote a book called King Dork, and they have a song called King Dork that they didn't release on anything. I've got it like on a compilation somewhere, and it's a really good song. That's probably the one I should have played now that we're talking about it. But he wrote this book, did really well, young adult reader series. You know, it's not a grown-up novel or a kid book. You know, it's kind of meant for teenagers. But it was optioned for a film, and I guess what he's been doing now, he's touring with Kepi Gooley, actually.
Oh, no shit.
Currently touring
with Kepi. How cool would that have been if he played the show with Kevin Seconds and stuff?
Kevin Seconds was a great guy, but if you would have told me we're going to see Kepi Gooley and
Dr.
Frank instead,
yeah. I would have. I mean, I like most of Kevin Seconds' solo stuff, too. I never really got into 7 Seconds. I like his solo stuff better, but sorry, Kevin, I would have gladly traded you in for Dr. Frank.
Totally. But yeah, so now he's working in the Hollywood system.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah. No, I helped those guys when I saw him at Fireside, actually helped them lug their shit in.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. Because I was, gosh, maybe 17. So I ran right up to him and got kind of fanboyish. And I was talking to Joel, and I'm like, hey, you know, I don't mean you're a fanboy. I just really want to meet you guys and everything. And he's like, no, man, that's fucking awesome. I'll be a fanboy. You want to help me carry my shit in? So I ended up with Joel, Jim, and Frank lugging all their equipment into Fireside and chit-chatting for a little bit. It was cool.
I can think of a lot worse ways to spend your evening.
Oh, no, it was great. It was great. They're really super nice guys, and I can't think of a better dude to have all the success that he's had.
Oh, no. I mean, that he's got like a PhD in history or something.
Smart fucking guy.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. And right in the middle of that was Green Day with I Don't Know If You're Lonely. First time I saw them was Warped Tour.
Yeah.
And it was right before Warning came out. And that's why I picked the song that I did, because I picked something they were doing at the time, and that song's from that period. It's a cover. It's a Husker Du cover.
Right, yeah.
They do a really nice job at it. I like it. I feel like we overdo the Green Day here on the show.
We love the Green Day. We can't help it.
No, we do. We really do. And Nick played something, didn't he?
I don't even want to talk about Nick.
Yeah, that's fair.
After what he did to us.
Yeah, that's true.
I know, I did.
You did.
Yeah, because you and he who should not be named were with me at my first Green Day concert.
That's right. That's right. That's right. So, yeah, the first time I saw him was at Warped Tour, and it was crazy hot. I think it was Tinley Park, Illinois, which is just outside of Chicago.
Yeah.
It was the one year that the Warped Tour did not go to St. Louis because they had a big issue with merch.
Yeah, okay, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, the year
before that, only like two or three bands actually sold merch.
Well, what happened was that year prior, anybody who wanted to sell merch at Warped Tour had to mark everything up. I want to say like between $3 and $5. I'm not 100% sure what it was.
Shit.
And the extra money was to go to Riverport. It may not have been called Riverport.
It's like UMB Bank Pavilion or some shit.
Right. I don't remember when that changeover finally happened. But the only band that agreed to it and continued to sell their shit was Lit. Remember those guys?
Oh, yeah. And that's why they got a prompt fart noise.
Yeah. And everybody else, they went to like a couple of different local like independent record stores to sell their shit afterward. Like, if you want to buy some stuff, we're not doing it here, but you can come here and we'll all be hanging around and you can buy whatever you want to buy from there, so we don't have to charge you so fucking much.
Right.
Or give them.
And in a big place like that, they could easily sold shirts for $20-$25 and kids would have bought it just, you know, they were there.
It would have been none the wiser.
Yeah. But know? No, that's cool, those bands to just do it.
And then the following year after that, there was no Warped Tour at Riverport, St. Louis. They went to Tinley Park instead. And that's where I went to saw Green Day. Heat was unbelievable. So bad, and the crowd was so large, there was actually guys on top of awnings with hoses spraying the crowd.
Holy shit.
On both sides.
If you've never been to a Warped Tour before,
yeah,
it is a mass of fucking 13 to 30-year-olds huddled together in 100-degree heat to see whatever band happens to be playing at whatever stage.
And Green Day is probably the biggest band that's ever played a Warped Tour.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe them, Weezer, Blink.
Weezer played a Warped Tour?
Yeah.
No shit.
Just like East Coast.
Oh, shit. Bands. I didn't know that.
Yeah. They typically had like just like really popular indie record bands occasionally. But at the time, Green Day was like the biggest band that had ever played a fucking Warped Tour.
Oh, yeah.
So if you had to play on any of the other three stages,
you were fucked in that time.
You
period.
Were fucked.
Yeah. In that and time slot, you were done.
Because the way Warped Tour works is that it's different every day. They try to be as fair as humanly possible. They move bands around. You might be playing at 11 a.m. one day, and then you might be the headliner the next day. I'm sure to a band's standpoint, some of that sucks. But I think it's a really cool and fair way to do it.
Oh, totally.
Everybody's going to get the shit job at some point. Everybody's going to get the great job at some point. And it was like right in the middle of the afternoon. And if you had to play at the same time as Green Day, your fucking stage was probably empty. You know?
Except for like your girlfriend and your parents.
But it was really, really good. People kept screaming for them to play something from Warning. Because people were fucking dying to hear new shit. Because the time period between Nimrod and Warning was like the longest time period.
What, 4 years? 5 years?
Yeah, it was the longest time period that Green Day's ever had in between records. Which was weird for them. And then later you find out that they'd almost broken up at some point in between there.
Right.
I guess they almost broke up again after Warning, too. So.
Oh, yeah. And I'm glad they did.
Oh, yeah. Because the new shit's good.
Even though the copy I got off of iTunes is fucking edited. And iTunes did not bother to let me know that before I purchased it. Thanks, iTunes.
We love you,
dick.
But keep carrying our shows, by the way.
Asshole. Up next is the MXPX All-Stars which begin to start. Tell me,
dream about. And I'm not the one who you can't live without.
Live without.
I'm not the one who you wanna see. I'm not the one who you want to be seen with. And when you're tired of all the jerks, and you're tired of all the work, and you're tired of being hurt, you will long for the comfort of my golf shirt. I'm not the one who was an old-time punk rocker. I was listening to Rush and trying to feather my hair back when all that stuff went down. I'm not the one who's in a high school hardcore band. I sat in my room scoring with Miss Pac-Man. And when you're tired of all the jerks, and you're tired of all the work, and you're tired of being skater girl. Skater girl. You're the only one for me. My skater girl.
And that was Squirkin' with Skater Girl, a band I saw a little bit later on. And you've already heard the story about how I went away to college and then Squirkin' played Springfield.
Because of course they did.
Yeah, that's how it works.
And then me and our ex-co-host band got to play a Squirkin' once.
I was there. It was great.
Right. Yeah, because we thought we were fucking hot shit because somebody from, I think, Amp Magazine or something was there and interviewed us. I mean, never got used for anything.
Right.
But they interviewed us.
That's so awesome. How was that?
It's neat. It was cool. I was, I think, 16 or 17 at the time, maybe. Right. Maybe, give or take a year. I just thought I was the coolest fucking biggest dick motherfucker on the planet at that point. We're just going to be in a magazine. Who cares?
Yeah.
Because Mike Filomley was playing drums for Squirtgun at the time.
Yeah.
Drummer from the Smoking Popes. Oh, man. Oh, yeah. It was awesome.
So when I actually did see them, it was one of their return trips to Springfield. And back when Matt Hart was able to tour with them, because when they were in Springfield the first time, it was Zach Damon.
Which we just found out recently.
We did. We did some detective work to figure that one out.
Which is kind of awesome, though. I would have loved to have seen a show with Zach Damon.
I would have, too. At the time, I would have known who he was by sight if I was at that show.
Oh, yeah.
You know, before that was Nerf Herder with Golf Shirt. That's a show that I saw probably shortly after, I think, their second record came out. Their second album, Not Me Girls. And that show, I really like Nerf Herder.
Never seen them live.
I like Nerf Herder a lot. Their later shit isn't that wonderful. But that show was just fun.
Were they the headliners?
It was them and Bloodhound Gang. They both played for the same amount of time. I guess those guys are buddies.
Huh. Seems like kind of an odd mix.
It does. I think they're both from the same area and they know each other and they're just friends. And they
yeah, good for them.
Yeah. And, you know, I think Perry Grip played guitar and some Bloodhound Gang stuff. You know, that song, I Hope You Die. I think Perry Grip helped write and played guitar and sang on too. And just a super fun show, man. I wish I would get a chance to see these guys again, but they play so sporadically.
Yeah, I was thinking Nata Surf when I hear Nerf Herder. I don't know, just, I guess the...
Like Weezer, Nata Surf, yeah, Nerf Herder, they all sort of kind of got lumped in that. And no one of those three bands seemed like even close to the other one to me.
No. But I just, like, name-wise, as far as like, Nata Surf and Nerf Herder go, like, I get them confused. And I love Nata Surf. I really do. Too. I still like the stuff they put out.
Yeah, and I should have put them on my list because I saw them.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, it was good. It was really good.
Well, that's right. People kept hounding them to play Popular. And yeah. I think you told me that story.
Yeah. They wanted them to play Popular, and they said that if someone could get up and do all the spoken word verses for Popular, they would play it.
And which would have been fucking awesome.
And no one took them.
Because that's the Nata Surf I cut my teeth on.
That first Nata Surf.
Rico Kasich.
Produced the first one. Yeah. The first Nata Surf album is great. The other ones are really good, too.
Yeah, and just in different ways.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. They just, I don't think they really ever captured that lightning in the bottle with it in the first record.
Yeah, the only, I mean, you know, yeah, I heard that record when that came out when I was in, I don't even know if I was in high school yet. Or if I was, it was real early high school.
It had to have been.
You know, years later, I'm out of high school and living in Chicago, and somebody's like, oh, Nata Surf, Nata Surf. I'm like, yeah, it's unpopular. They're like, oh, no, there's much more than that.
And oh, yeah.
I loved High Low.
You know what? Speaking of which, now that we run the shit, we're going to listen to Deeper Well by Nata Surf.
Down a big hole.
there you have it. What happens when we run the show.
Exactly.
I love everything I've heard outside of Hi-Lo, but I haven't really gone back to listen to Hi-Lo, so I don't even remember if I like it that much. Their newest record, what, Electrocution or Taco? Whatever it is.
Yeah. It's good. It's probably Electric Taco. I think you're probably
Electric Taco.
Yeah.
Everything I've heard of theirs outside of Hi-Lo is fucking amazing.
No, they're good. They're a really good band. They're a good live band. They have a song on their second record called 80 Windows. You know those songs that just break your heart?
Oh, yeah.
It's tough to explain, but like I hear that song 80 Windows and I just feel bad in the best possible way.
I got
just
you.
Like a song can affect you emotionally.
Well, and they're just a three-piece too. It's not like they've got a fucking, they're not doing anything outrageous, you know, musically. They're just writing really good fucking songs.
You know what else? Here's Not a Surf with 80 Windows.
Because there's
we're back.
Yeah, no, Nana Surf's one of those bands that impresses me and just, for whatever reason, stays under the radar.
No, and they're good, and they should be bigger than they are. And I'm glad that they seem to kind of find a second life after
Oh, yeah.
Because they do have a really solid fan base.
All right, what's the album with Blizzard of 77 on it? Let Go.
Let Go.
Yeah. Oh, that's got to be my favorite Nana Surf record. I've got to find my copy of that.
Here is the Huntingtons with the only song I really wanted to hear when I saw them, and they didn't play. Dock and Roll.
Got off work 5 minutes ago. Let's go to a rock and roll show. Dock is playing the Big Kahuna. Frampton's rocking at the Stone Balloon. Get your girl and come along. If she likes them, that rock and roll songs. In a minute, we'll be late for the door. By then, they won't be checking at these no more. Got rock and roll in my skin. That rock and roll is my friend. Rock and every day.
medicine, how much I want to die. All the horror movies are real in my mind. And somehow when I walk away, when the pain's too much to hide, you never let me get too far away. You saved me on Sunday when we were angels.
Mark Ramone's Blitzkrieg with When We Were Angels. We just saw him. If you want to check out everything we had to say about the Mark Ramone show,
go back to the last episode of Tuesday Night Hootenanny, and that's why we played them.
You know, we might change the name of that show, too, now that it's just ours.
We've never been happy with that.
No, it's just obnoxious.
Yeah. It's like, oh, look at us.
It was created by a douche.
Yeah, that too, so.
Somebody that we just can't stand anymore. I don't even want to, I burned all his pictures. I covered him up with Richard Dreyfuss's face, every single picture. I took clips from Mr. Holland's Opus and just threw them on pictures of Nick.
You took way more effort than I did. To me, it hurts to even think about. So I have to let it go. You want to hear about Mark Ramone's Blitzkrieg? Go listen to the last episode of Tuesday Night Hootenanny. We discussed it at length. It was fun.
Yeah.
Great time.
We had stuff to say about it, but we're not gonna
repeat it. Go listen. You'll find out all about it. But before that, we had
Vandals with Cafe 405,
and we're not gonna say too much about that either, only because
Richard Dreyfuss already talked about it.
Richard Dreyfuss discussed it.
Don't forget to check out Jughead's Basement, October 19th. All about the Screeching Weasel record, My Brain Hurts. Interviews with Dan Vapid, Dan Panic, Cody from Teenage Bottle Rocket, Kyle Canadian.
Probably my favorite stand-up comedian going right now.
Tons of great interviews.
Larry Livermore.
Oh, fuck. That's
probably that's a big one.
One I'm the most excited about, honestly. Yeah. Go to TuesdayNightHoot.com. All your show needs. Check out past episodes of Jughead's Basement, past episodes of whatever we decide to name. The Tuesday Night Hootenanny Cottage Cheese and Farm Report.
Right.
Past episodes of the Teenage Mixtape. Don't forget to go by Facebook. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Send us emails at TuesdayNightHoot@gmail.com. Tell us what you think we ought to name the show and blow us a little bit. And try to order some merch. And, you know, we'll try to get some more printed out since Nick ran off with all of ours. We'll get to you as soon as we can. And I've got to return some videos, man.
TNH Mixtape. Make sure to check out the other shows in the TNH network right here at TuesdayNightHoot.com.